This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. All investing involves risk.
Hello and welcome to L&G Talks Asset Management. My name is Andrew Laurie. I'm a content manager here at L&G, and today we're going to be taking a look at unconstrained fixed income strategies. To do this, I'm joined by Enda Mulry, who's a portfolio manager in our Global Bond Strategies team. Enda, welcome to the podcast.
Good afternoon, Andrew. Good afternoon, everybody.
First, let's define our terms. What exactly do we mean when we say a strategy is unconstrained?
There are two broad strategy types in fixed income, generally speaking, constrained and unconstrained. Constrained funds are normally tied to a benchmark or set of rules, whereas unconstrained don't have this restriction, so give managers greater flexibility from an asset allocation perspective.
And what kind of benefits do they offer investors compared to more traditional actively managed strategies?
Unconstrained funds seek to deliver positive returns irrespective of the direction of interest rates and market conditions, whereas benchmark-driven strategies are purely measured on exceeding a benchmark return, even if the benchmark return is negative or suboptimal. An example would be 2022. We had big drawdowns in fixed income, double-digit drawdowns. So if you were a benchmark investor and you achieved 1% above a minus 11% benchmark return, you made minus 10%, you would be happy because you would have exceeded your target. Whereas on the unconstrained side, our goal is to produce consistent, attractive risk-adjusted returns across all market conditions over a given time period.
And I know the strategy that you run has a decarbonisation objective. Does being unconstrained help facilitate this?
Yeah, that is correct. We do believe so. The strategy aims to halve the carbon emissions of the companies and countries it invests in by the end of 2030. We believe being unconstrained enables us to better achieve this, as we are less concerned about benchmark weights of impacted names, which a constrained investor may be more affected by.
Now, we're not here to talk Trump, but we are in a period of high volatility and uncertainty thanks to the administration in the US. Do unconstrained strategies offer distinct opportunities to manage this kind of uncertain market environment?
Definitely so. There is a lot of talk of the US becoming less investable under the current administration than in the past. One of the benefits of unconstrained strategies is the ability to diversify our asset allocation away from the US. We believe there are better risk-adjusted return opportunities elsewhere.
Now, one of the things you get to do, which I don't, is to go on the road and actually meet clients. When you do speak to them, what kind of questions are consistently coming up?
Yeah, most recently, I mean, the conversations tend to be quite current. So how we are affected by the market volatility post-Liberation Day in the US, what asset allocation decisions we are taking in the portfolio to counteract this risk. Investors are interested around whether the dollar is at risk of losing its reserve currency status globally and whether there are viable alternatives to treasuries for overseas investors currently. Most recently, clients are inquiring about the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which is a real name, believe it or not, passed in the US House of Representatives. So Section 899 of that bill proposes a withholding tax on certain overseas holders of US assets. So that's something that we are currently monitoring. Away from recent developments, clients tend to be keen to hear our views on interest rates or duration positioning as it is known within our portfolios.
Now, we're coming up on the exact halfway point of the year. What kind of scenarios are you planning for as you position your strategies for the rest of 2025?
So near term, we have the 3-month extension to the tariff exemptions for many countries, which is expiring on the 8th of July. Looking at options pricing around this date, the market appears to be underestimating the risk of negative surprise here. So hence we have increased hedging across our strategies recently. But when we look at the market, broadly speaking, we tend to focus on three key factors: fundamentals, both macro and micro, valuations, how cheap is fixed income historically, and finally, technicals, as it is known as in the market, which references supply-demand dynamics. Just looking through these factors, firstly, technicals, you know, we have been living in a QE, quantitative easing period post the global financial crisis for many years, where interest rates turned negative in Europe and were very low elsewhere. Fast forward to the current environment post 2022, yields are back in fixed income. So technicals have been the main driver of flows over recent months. Valuations, they're quite attractive for yield investors, but less so for spread investors. Credit spreads remain rich, but attractive yields tend to partially offset this factor in the current market. And then finally, on the fundamental side, how strong are both macro and micro fundamentals? On the macro side, investors are demanding a higher term premium for longer dated debt of DM sovereigns with weak debt to GDP dynamics, in particular the US and Japan currently. The US consumer has proven to be very resilient over recent years, given the health of the labor market. we're yet to see the impact of higher tariffs on corporate fundamentals. So, you know, with Q2 earnings coming up in a few weeks, it will be particularly interesting to see if there are any hints of higher costs being passed on to consumers and their ability to withstand this.
Now, we've alluded to earlier about this being a slightly challenging, tricky market environment. And I know one of the key variables that's going to determine performance is the amount of duration held in a given strategy. Where do you see the value of duration in the present moment?
Yeah, duration is something that our clients are very interested in, very focused on, and maybe a differentiator in terms of how we manage the fund versus some of our peers. We tend to use duration primarily as a hedge for our credit risk across our funds. We see less value in owning duration in the current environment. Our expectations for tariffs to be inflationary, hence this may limit the amount of Fed cuts which are currently priced in to the market. On top of this, investors are currently shunning the longer part of the US curve. So the correlation between credit spreads and duration has increased, which reduces the benefit from owning duration in our funds. So we're quite defensive on the duration side currently.
And finally, are there any industries or sectors that you have a particular favour of for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think the tariff volatility has given some interesting opportunities in our market. If you look at autos, we have had a large retracement of the spread widening we saw in the aftermath of Liberation Day. Hence, there may be some opportunities there to reduce exposure or even add some new short positions. So we work quite closely with our fundamental analysts on that sector. European subordinated financials offer attractive risk-adjusted returns in the current climate. Banks appear to be relatively well insulated from tariff risk and are buoyed by the current higher interest rate environment and steeper yield curve. Hence, that's a sector we continue to favour across our strategies.
Enda, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Andrew.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of L&G's Asset Management Division, as at the date of publication. This podcast is for informational purposes only, and we're not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general market, economic or political issues, or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against L&G in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this podcast contains third-party information, the accuracy or completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information. Not for distribution to any person in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulations. Copyright 2025. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Unless otherwise stated, references herein to L&G, we and us are meant to capture the global conglomerate that includes, in the European Economic Area, LGIM Managers Europe Limited, authorised and regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland as a UCITS management company pursuant to European Communities Undertaking for Collective Investment in Transferable Securities Regulations 2011 as amended, and as an Alternative Investment Fund Manager pursuant to the European Union Alternative Investment Fund Managers Regulations 2013 as amended. In the USA, Legal and General Investment Management America, Inc., a US SEC regulated investment advisor. In Japan, Legal and General Investment Management Japan, KK, a Japan FSA registered investment management company. In Hong Kong, issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, which is licensed by the Securities and Futures Commission. And in Singapore, issued by LGIM Singapore Pte Limited, company registration number 20223187 6W, which is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on LinkedIn or on our website.